Honestly, I'm a little worried that the sporting event that's happening on Friday night may rip our show right in two. There's so many good things going on this weekend. Got a lot of good college games, obviously good pro games going on. Your Eagles play Thursday night. My Bills are playing the Kansas City Chiefs this weekend. I mean, there's just so much.
Yeah, it's a best NFL weekend of the year.
Yeah. But we're not even talking about anything football related.
You're not talking about anything football related. I'm focused on Broadway shows and football.
Yes, like every sports fan in this nation. But on Friday night, the spectacle is going on. And Perloff, I've never seen you. And Bogish is here with us for this segment also. You guys both are so staunchly against Mike Tyson fighting Jake Paul. Nobody thinks it's like anywhere near the great boxing matches of the past, but it can still be watched as a spectacle, right? You guys seem so morally opposed to it.
I will watch it, but it's not a boxing match. It's a exhibition. It's like closer to pro wrestling than watching a heavyweight title bout. It's closer to watching...
Well, that's not true because we don't know what the outcome's going to be.
The outcome's irrelevant. It's stupid. It does not matter. It doesn't prove anything. I really believe it's closer to WrestleMania than it is to a title bout.
Then why not just enjoy it?
Well, I totally enjoy it, but I don't want to talk about it like it's a real boxing match. I don't want to have a boxing analyst come on and talk about the styles of the two fighters because that's insane. That's like having me and Bogish take off our glasses and go 12 rounds. You know what I'm saying? Like Tyson's late 50s and Jake Paul, I think is probably a pretty good boxer, but he's not like a professional boxer. Like we shouldn't be treating it like it's a boxing match. We should be treating it like it's like Rough and Rowdy at Barstool or like celebrity boxing matches or something.
Well, I got bad news for you. It is sanctioned. I don't know how the state of Texas is giving Mike Tyson's a license to fight in this match, but from what I'm seeing, it is a sanctioned fight. It is going to count on Mike Tyson's official record. Mike Tyson, one of the great fighters of all time.
Yeah, I mean, like when he fought Roy Jones Jr. a few years ago, that was garbage. It was hot garbage. Like, honestly, like, I think about that fight, I might not even watch this fight. Like, it's going to be incredibly disappointing. If anything, waters down Tyson's legacy. I'm not for this fight at all.
So it's Friday night. It's on Netflix. On Wednesdays, we do something called The Great Debate. So if this boxing match may be some kind of low point in the history of boxing,
correct, we
wanted to talk about the high points in the long legacy of boxing. So today is Great Debate. Let's hit the music.
The Great Debate Series.
Today's question, what is the greatest boxing match of all time? It's not Mike Tyson, Jake Paul.
Yeah.
It's not going to make it into this list.
I'd rather put that Floyd Mayweather, Conor McGregor fight ahead of that.
That's
closer. Not a fight. Anyway, okay, can I go first here?
Yeah,
greatest boxing match of all time. I'm sorry, I'm going to take the low-hanging fruit. It's got to be Ali Frazier 1. It is probably not just the greatest boxing match of all time, maybe the most important single sporting event of the 20th century. Called the fight of the century. The symbolism was obviously clear. Muhammad Ali was basically lost everything because he protested the Vietnam War. Joe Frazier supported the Vietnam War. Country took sides in this fight. The two fighters became symbols of a much bigger thing. Turned out to be a great fight. Frazier won. Philadelphia in the house. But let me just real quick read the celebrities there. Sammy Davis Jr., Barbara Streisand, Diana Ross, Dustin Hoffman, Hugh Hefner all sat ringside. Frank Sinatra acted as a photographer for Life magazine, and Burt Lancaster did color on the fight. It was the ultimate.
Who?
Burt Lancaster?
You just named a bunch of people that I had to just. The only one I got is Frank Sinatra.
Sammy Davis
Jr.?
Barbara Streisand? Diana Ross?
Wait, does Manny not know the Perloff Barbara Streisand story?
Wait, I don't know that story.
You don't know who Barbara Streisand is?
Actress?
You don't know who Diana Ross is?
Hot person?
You don't know who Dustin Hoffman is?
Isn't he dead now?
Nope.
No.
Hugh Hefner?
Oh, he's dead.
All right, so you know him.
So you know that one.
Wait, you just said that. I just named like 10 of the most famous people in...
All time.
All time.
1950s?
No.
What the heck?
Well,
are
yes,
you allowed
Sinatra
to vote? Because you should not be. Because you do not have enough knowledge of what has ever happened in this country. Like, that is, you're the problem. Anyway.
Wait, I just love this because we, Perloff gets another opportunity to tell your amazing Barbara Streisand story at some point during the show today. It's so good, Pearl. Please.
I've told it 100 times.
Yeah, you and Babs?
Oh, bogus. You don't even know the half.
No, I'm sorry. I'm like, just the thought that you haven't heard of a single of those people is really throwing me off. Diana Ross? You don't know who Diana Ross is?
I know the guy who sang New York, New York. Familiar with him.
Well, I hope so.
You're just kidding. Like,
and that's all you got on Sinatra? Is he the post-game Yankee guy?
Yeah, more or less.
You are the worst.
Hey, he's younger than us, guys.
No, that's not what it is.
Younger? Yeah, but I mean, it doesn't matter. Like,
it doesn't matter.
Yeah, it's like, have you not heard of, I don't know, like FDR? Like, what's going on here? I don't know. This is
FDR, right?
Yeah, he has the highway on the east side of New York, right?
Well played, Manny.
Anyway, my fight was bigger than all your fights combined.
And now we have
time is important here. He's a well-conditioned athlete. However, he is real tired.
Amazing.
That made it sound really old. I guess Burt Lancaster didn't do a great job on it.
The one that Manny doesn't know who he is.
Manny, forgiven.
I win.
Okay, we're asking the great debate today. What's the greatest boxing match of all time? This is inspired by the Mike Tyson-Jake Paul fight on Friday because it will be the diametrically opposite thing that we will see on Friday. Greatest fight of all time, in my opinion, October 30th, 1974. You may remember it as the Rumble in the Jungle. This is, again, Muhammad Ali, this time fighting Joe Foreman. What was so interesting about this fight...
George Foreman.
George Foreman, sorry. What did I say, Joe?
Yeah, Manny, he took George half Foreman. My fight.
All right. Sorry. The grill guy? George Foreman. Yes, the grill guy. Same guy. You said it meant so much more than just boxing.
Yeah.
In this way, a little bit of the same. Ali got his license revoked for protesting the Vietnam War. While he couldn't fight, George Foreman really rose to prominence. So this was them finally meeting, happened in what was formerly Zaire, Kinshasa, now the Democratic Republic of Congo. Ali was a 4-1 underdog in this fight. The biggest takeaway was this was the debut of the rope-a-dope. The strategy that put Ali in a different stratosphere in terms of being a cerebral boxer. Against the ropes, covering himself up to the point where Foreman tired himself out because of all the punches that were not really landing on Ali. Eighth round comes, Ali knocks him out.
Ali, a sneaky right hand. Another sneaky right hand. This time he works over the shoulder of Foreman.
Ali and Foreman never fought again. George Foreman fell into a massive depression that he eventually got himself out of. Ali and Foreman became good friends. The book, The Fight by Norman Mailer, the movie When We Were Kings was an Oscar winner. It is the greatest fight of all time. EJ, what do you have for a great debate today?
Great choices with Ali as always, but I'm going to go to the 80s and I'm going to go to what has been referred to as the greatest three rounds of boxing ever. I think when we want to see boxing, we really want to see is a fight. Whether you're on the street, whether you're in a big arena, whether you're in a bar, people love fights. And I think nothing describes a fight like what happened between Thomas Hearns and Marvin Hagler in 1985. In what was just an absolute brawl. You just do not see guys come out in the center of the ring and just start swinging haymakers for three rounds. Thomas Hearns breaks his hand in the first round because of how hard he hit Marvin Hagler. These were two absolute destroyers in their weight classes, meeting in the middleweight division, and it ended in the third round mercifully with a Hagler knockout of Hearns.
Another right hand! Hearns in deep trouble again. Hearns is down. Hearns is down in the third round and on his back. And he's not going to beat the count. I don't believe. Tommy Hearns tries to get up and he...
They've got to stop this fight.
Does he get up? up. He just says no. He can't continue. It's Hagler full of blood. Blood, no doubt, impeding his vision, stopping him in the third round after Hearns almost ended it on a first-round knockout.
Yeah, I mean, Thomas Hearns almost destroyed Hagler in the first round with one of these right hands. And Hagler, with blood all over his face, they literally almost stopped the fight minutes before the Hagler knockout because of how much blood was coming down Hagler's face. You could barely see. And what I love about this fight, the whole thing's on YouTube.
Yeah, you can just watch it.
It's just 19 minutes. You know, most of these fights, you know, Ali and Foreman, and especially Ali Frazier, that's a long hour and a half, 15-round fight. This you can watch in 20 minutes and go back and watch The Penguin or watch, you know, Big Bang Theory or whatever.
See Wicked.
This is my kind of fight. I love it. Hagler-Hearns, greatest fight of all time.
And is that Al Michaels in there on the call?
Oh, that's a good question.
I think it is.
Sounds like him. I think it might be.
Our great debate today, greatest boxing match of all time. Tyson is fighting Jake Paul on Friday. That is not going to be the greatest fight of all time. Manny, who do you have?
I will show some of my bias here. One of the greatest boxers, in my opinion, to have ever graced this world is from Guadalajara, Jalisco, Mexico. Mm-hmm. His name is Saul Canelo Alvarez. Thrice he went up against Triple G, one of the best boxers of the 2010s, more or less. Canelo with a big win in 2018, the second edition of the fight, actually won one of the Fights of the Year awards, and This is kind of what it sounded like.
Your winner by majority decision and new WBC, WBO, IBO Ring Magazine middleweight champion of the world, Saul Canelo Alvarez.
I'll go with Canelo.
Wait, I thought we were doing best fight of all time, not the worst judge fight of all time. The Triple G clearly won. Handily.
Speak on it, Pearl.
Everyone was so mad. I remember it. I watched that fight. That was tough.
Nothing like a little 12-round action that goes all the way to the judges. You have to let the judges score it. Why is that not one of the best fights?
It was a great fight, but I felt like Triple G got screwed. I think that was the one where he got screwed, right?
I think he won the first two, but that's me.
Yeah,
but
well,
yeah, you and everybody
y'all
else.
The judges. Viva Mexico.
Canelo is an all-time fighter. I wish the Golovkin fights had happened 5 years earlier, but isn't that boxing for you?
That's a problem. Like you could say all these Mayweather and all these guys 5 years earlier would have been amazing.
Yeah, well, there's a reason why Mayweather-Pacquiao is not going to make this list. We're asking the greatest boxing match of all time. Bogish, bring us home.
Well, I'm a little out of my depth on this one. I had the fourth pick in a three-pick draft. So all the top 10 lists that I found had this fight after the three that Perloff, Maggie, and EJ went with.
And here comes, get it back! Less than 10 seconds in the round. Gaddy's gonna survive the round. This should be the round of the century.
That was the ninth round of the first of three fights between Mickey Ward and Arturo Gatti. It was in May of 2002. Ward won by decision. They fought over 30 rounds in their three fights, and apparently that one was a very good one.
That was a great one. That trilogy is unreal. Gatti broke his hand. Speaking of breaking your hand, Gatti broke his hand and won the second match. I think he broke his hand maybe in the first round and basically beat Ward with one hand.
Yeah, you got a movie out of it. Yeah. So Maggie got a couple movies out of her fight. I got a movie out of my fight. EJ, I don't think there's a movie on those middleweights in the 80s.
Which is unfortunate because
that'd be sick.
Yeah, Leonard, Hearns, Hagler. We talked about, we had a No Mas. We had a, you know, I can't remember his name, Hands of Stone.
No, he's got a bunch
and
of
Macho
movies.
Camacho.
He's in a movie that's on Netflix now with De Niro plays his manager, Roberto Duran. But yeah, we all got movies except for really Manny. You didn't get a movie yet.
It's still in development.
What's that?
It's still in development.
No, that'd be a good movie. I'd watch all
the these. Canelo story.
Boxing lends itself great to that kind of theatrical stuff. I love your movie When We Were Kings and Ali by Michael Mann. Amazing, both about the Rumble in the Jungle.
You're right. It's so easy because it's like good, not good versus evil necessarily, but boxing's got all the themes. Anyways, we're asking the greatest boxing match of all time today. Do you want to know something interesting about all of our choices? For as revered as Mike Tyson is, he generally doesn't get mentioned as one of the any of the greatest fights of all time. Now, there are great fights that he had. Trevor Burbick fight, you can talk about, you know, the most notorious fight he had was probably the Evander Holyfield, the biting of the ear, or when he got knocked out by Buster Douglas. He does have so many fights, but none really qualify for greatest fight ever.
Yeah, my favorite fight is Marvis Frazier when he beat him in 33 seconds.
Well, that's Tyson's dominance.
If you want to go to YouTube and watch something fun, watch early Mike Tyson beat up guys in the first minute. It's the funniest thing you'll ever see. That's why, like, yeah, of course he wasn't. And the only like real dramatic fight was the biting of the ear. I mean, sometimes you see the Buster Douglas fight, the first fight he lost, and it's not a great fight.
No, Tyson was totally not taking it seriously, and Buster Douglas was on like a mission because of his mother had just passed away, and he had all these other things going on in his life, and it was his moment. But
yeah, it's not a great fight,
no.
But it's a great significant upset. Moment.
Totally. I think the same as Tyson beating Trevor Burbick, becoming the youngest heavyweight champion of all time. But these are not remembered as like these amazing fights that go down like Hagler-Hearns.
No, but I do remember how like stunned people were lost.
Yeah,
one of the greatest upsets ever.
Right. The biggest one was Spinks, right? Like, and he just, like, him killing Spinks was, that was a big deal. I remember that because, because Michael Spinks was an outstanding fighter, and Tyson just absolutely demolished him. You thought he was never, ever going to lose. You thought he would go, like, the greats of all time, 100 and nothing. And now he's fighting Jake Paul. Great.
In air quotes. Stop using the word fight.
855-212-4227. All right, greatest boxing match of all time. Josh is in Philadelphia. It's a very recent one. Hey, Josh.
Good morning, Ms. Gray. How are you?
Dynamite.
Good morning, Mr. Perloff.
Good morning.
Talking about the greatest fights, I think it's Tyson Fury and Deontay Wilder 1. And I really think the greatest moment, I believe it was in the 10th round, where Tyson Fury got knocked down, and like an alarm clock, he just like rose back up. I was wondering what you guys think of that.
That fight was on a lot of lists I looked at, Josh. The only recent fight, the only fight in the last 20 years that really made any list.
Yeah, I thought that was amazing. I watched that fight multiple times, and I've scored it different each time. I just wonder who you guys really thought won that fight.
I mean, Tyson Fury, the Gypsy King, is that what they call him?
I saw clips of the fight.
This was a great fight. The rematch was not as good, right?
No, Tyson destroyed him.
Because Deontay Wilder was wearing like a 20-pound suit of armor into the ring that he claimed took his legs out.
Yeah. Boxing's the best.
I think Fury did one. I do like Deontay Wilder, though. I think Castillo Corrales is also a fight that's thought of as one of the greatest fights of all time and a phenomenal rematch as well. Luis Castillo, Diego Corrales. Is one of the great recent fights. Josh, thank you. Let's go to William in San Francisco. William, what's the greatest boxing match of all time?
How you doing? Morning, Maggie. Morning, Perloff.
Morning.
I talked to EJ. The best that I saw, one of the best, I should say, a very controversial fight, Meldrick Taylor versus Julio Cesar Chavez.
Mm-hmm.
That was an incredible fight. Took it down to the last second before Chavez knocks him out, and it's the end of the fight. Richard Steele calls off the fight. Incredible fight. That fight is in history. They don't talk about, you said, the middleweight movies. They don't talk about the welterweights either.
You know where Meldrick Taylor's from, William?
No.
Streets of Philadelphia, baby. He was a very, very big Philadelphia celebrity back in the day.
Okay.
Yeah, well, he was a great fighter. Remember, he was part of that ridiculous 84 Olympic team? He was a superstar. I totally know that fight you're talking about. I did see that on Bliss, I believe.
And then even in the rematch, he got knocked out, I think, by the fifth round or something like that, because the first one was so controversial. Julio Cesar Chavez was like, all right, we'll see how controversial this next one's going to be. And there was no question in the rematch.
You know, just looking at this now, that was fight of the decade in the 1990s, William, which was still spanning some of Mike Tyson's prime. So, and also not to mention Evander Holyfield, not to mention Lennox Lewis was a little more in the 2000s. But William, thank you so much for the call. Keep them coming, guys. Greatest boxing match of all time. That's your great debate for today.
Right. There was a time around 84 where all these guys were in the Olympics and it was a big deal.
Oh, yeah.
Pernell Whitaker, Meltzer Taylor, like that was boxing's prime. Early 80s, it was one of the top five sports in the country.
Absolutely. And then you had Floyd Mayweather who said, I can't eat gold medals. That's why one of the reasons why.
No, I think the
Olympic boxing
corruption and the division of the all the WBC, WBA crap, like, that ruined the sport.
No, but like Oscar De La Hoya, that was a huge thing, the Olympics. But then I think it sort of, it wasn't the thing anymore to be a gold medalist.
No. Yeah, you're right.
Meanwhile, De La Hoya.
He's had some great ones. Felix Trent, I love boxing, and I feel like the beginning of my time as a boxing fan was watching Felix Trinidad versus Oscar De La Hoya. Awesome fight. De La Hoya is beating a guy who looked invincible and then takes his foot off the gas for the last five rounds, and Trinidad steals it. And a fight that's still controversial. Some people still think De La Hoya would have won, but we kind of sleep on the late 90s. We had some really great fighters then, too.
I know we got a break, but it was different, though, in the 80s, because that was like a singular event the entire country was in on, like Jerry Cooney and Larry Holmes. Like, that was like every casual boxing, non-boxing fan. These fights might be amazing, but it didn't feel like they got the same kind of attention.
Well, but De La Hoya would have,
not
for sure.
Nothing.
But
nothing.
Not like Muhammad,
not like the
Ali.
70s, but
not like Larry Holmes.
That was a huge fight, though, in terms of pay-per-view buys and stuff
like
that.
But, like, you weren't getting three covers of Sports Illustrated and, like, coverage on every news channel.
No, it's different.
Yeah, I'm telling you, boxing used to be a much different sport.
855-212-4227. Okay, we got that. We've got more football for you, too.
All right, sports fans, listen up. 1 in 8 men will be diagnosed with prostate cancer, and bladder leaks can be a side effect. That's why Depend is teaming up with the Prostate Cancer Foundation to encourage screening. Because health is a long game, and it's yours to win. Here's the cool part. Through November, Depend is contributing up to $300,000 to prostate cancer research by donating 40 cents for every purchase of shields, guards, and RealFit products. Void in Mississippi. Learn more at depend.com.
Welcome back. Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff, M&P. On Wednesdays, we do something called The Great Debate, and it's loosely based on the news, and this one's very loose. Because Mike Tyson and Jake Paul are fighting on Friday night. Yes, you heard me correctly. On Netflix. That will not be the greatest boxing match of all time. But we are asking you, what is the greatest boxing match of all time? That's the great debate today. And you guys are weighing in on this one. Will is in California. Will, the greatest boxing match of all time was what?
Good to talk to you guys again. Unquestionably, the greatest match of all time was the Thrill in Manila. That was the third fight between Frazier and Ali. It was at 90 degrees, stifling heat and humidity, and it was a war of attrition, a brutal war of attrition that's been put on film and digitized and everything. And it's an incredible match between two very powerful heavyweights. And in the 14th round, Ali had told his corner man, I think it was Angelo Dundee, he couldn't go on. But before he could throw in the towel, Frazier's, guy threw in the towel, and that was the end of that. The most hype match, though, was really the first one, the fight of the century at Madison Square Garden between those two. But unquestionably, to me, it was the Thrill in Manila. And if you can ever get a copy of that fight and watch it, you might concur with me.
Yeah, I also think the fact that you have that great sort of rhyme there, Thrilla and Manila, gives it a little extra juice.
Well, I gave you Rumble in the Jungle.
Yeah, Rumble in the Jungle is good, but the way they took off the ER and made it Thrilla and Manila, that's even better.
Well, Don King had a way of marketing and selling.
Yeah, Ali also.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Rumble in the Jungle. Yeah, Rumble in the Jungle gives you extra points, too. I'll give you that.
Well, that was my pick. Thrilla Manila, of course. One of the greatest fights of all time. Daryl is in California. Daryl, what's the greatest boxing match of all time?
Hey, good morning, Maggie and Perloff. I got to go back to a time, before YouTube, and we actually knew who the boxers was. You know, growing up in New Jersey, I was a huge Hagler fan. But I got to tell you, I got to go with Sugar Ray and Roberto Duran and No Mas fight. Because we used to be able to turn on a Wide World of Sports, and we saw the interview when Duran tried to get to him mentally before the fight, talking all this junk, and Duran had just won a decision on the previous fight, and Sugar Ray just beat him down, so he was like, no mas, no mas, so that had to be one of the greatest ones to me.
Daryl, you're right. I mean, there's a lot of people who believe that, well, there are some who believe, I think, that Sugar Ray Leonard might be the greatest fighter of all time. Sugar Ray Robinson also thought of as one of the great fighters of all time. And that, the Duran fight is, without a doubt, one of the most famous.
Well, yeah, I'm not sure it was the greatest fight, but it was the most hype fight. The first one was probably one of the most hype fights of all time. Yep. I'm not sure Sugar Ray Leonard was a pound for pound, but he's got to be the most exciting boxer. You mentioned EJ at Hearns Hagler. You put Sugar Ray Leonard, his fights against Hearns and Hagler were also like, he was like the ultimate showman too, like with the winding arm and stuff. He was, and by the way, I think he's still like kind of relevant, right? Like you still, he still makes a lot of public appearances.
I've interviewed Sugar Ray Leonard.
Yeah.
He came to Sports Illustrated a couple times.
A lot of boxers fade. He has not faded.
No, he does Skechers commercials. He was until recently.
And I think what I love about that call and about the Leonard Duran and all these fights we talk about is the storylines that were built up.
Yeah.
Because like that Leonard Duran fight too is really so much from the story from one, where Duran is basically like, he won't meet me in the ring toe to toe, and Leonard tries to fight him toe to toe and he loses because Duran was just a slugger, right? And Leonard's style was get in, get out, speed. And in the fight too, and how Leonard shifted his strategy, and then Duran couldn't just literally quit. He couldn't fight him because he couldn't touch him. Like these stories, the Ali Frazier stories, the Ali Foreman stories. I love the Hagler Hearns story. Like Hagler, great fighter, but is he really a star? Is he really that marketable? He's not as exciting as Leonard. All right, I'm gonna go out there and just go in a crazy slugfest with the hardest puncher in the fight game for three rounds and see what happens. Like it's the stories behind this stuff was so cool.
Yeah, there's it's a really good movie. De Niro's recent movie about Duran, like that story is bananas. His life, he's from Panama, right? You mentioned it.
Yeah.
And the manager came out of nowhere, totally like Mickey and Rocky, and made this guy a superstar. By the way, we didn't mention Rocky and Apollo. I think he deserves a shout out at some point.
We had a caller who wanted to mention that.
I understand there are a lot of people.
Was it Perloff's brother?
I think a lot of people think Rocky Clubber Lang 2 was the greatest fight. I mean, we can have that argument off air.
Sure.
Or tomorrow.
Maybe.
The greatest fight in what?
The whole hook is Mike Tyson versus Jake Paul.
I
will give you Apollo Creed 1 versus Rocky. I mean,
and I just want to point out there's another level to this fight. It's not just whether or not the fight within the show, whether or not like this is good or bad on Friday night. It's my fight with you because you've jumped on my take of this thing, which I had from day one. You picked up on day 90.
No. I was just pushing back because Maggie and EJ on the call were talking about the different styles. It's like, can Jake Paul fend off Mike Tyson's right uppercut? I'm like, what are you talking about, people? This is an exhibition. They were getting into the footwork and
listen, Drago and Apollo was an exhibition. We saw how that ended.
did you see the videos of Jake Paul working out yesterday?
I did.
Why is he wearing that thing on his head?
I don't know.
It's a red rooster.
Yeah,
on his head. What does he call himself? Is this something bigger I should know?
That I don't know.
Okay,
a loser perhaps.
Whoa.
Well,
not wrong.
Manny's dressed like a boxer training for a fight. The only thing you're not doing is punching a hunk of meat in a freezer somewhere.
Manny's dressed like a plainclothes police officer.
You are a narc right now. Yeah. That friend sweatshirt isn't throwing anybody off.
Got a Scully cap on, a hoodie, and some sweatpants.
I thought you looked like, he looks like Latino Little Mac.
You can do a drug bust or run a bunch, and I'll follow you in my car.
Manny's showing up in a very vague-looking Toyota. Yeah.
We're going to call you Serpico the rest of the show.
Manny's never seen that movie.
I'm surprised he knows what Friends is.
Yeah.
No, Friends had a second life.
Very familiar with Jennifer Aniston's work.
Oh, okay.
Do you know who Frank Serpico? He was a real person. No. Okay. That's what a narc would say.
There you go.
Still undercover. Doesn't want to blow his cover. Bogus has headlines for
him. Shockingly, Joel Embiid did not limp to the rescue last night. 2 of 11 shooting just 13 points in his delayed season debut.
Shouldn't be rusty. That's expected. Thought overall, felt pretty good, health-wise. I think he's just by trusting myself. I thought I was a little timid, so I stuck with a lot of jumpers.
A lot of jumpers that didn't go in. The Sixers losing to the Knicks, 111-99, so they are 2-8 on the season.
Baggy, did you pick the Sixers to come out of the East? Did I have a fever dream that we were talking about that, or is a dangerous team?
In my own defense, it was the day before.
The rave. So you were pre...
It was during the rave. No, in my own defense, it was literally the day before they announced that Joel Embiid was going to miss the first 7 games of the season load management. Yes, it was. It literally was the day before.
No, I know, but that's
You, I said, can I have the pick back?
That's no defense, because Joel Embiid... Newsflash is, if he's not hurt now, he's going to be hurt later. There's no difference. He's
just watched him beat
hurt.
Serbia.
He's been hurt in 20 straight playoff appearances. Like, there's no way. That team has no chance. I'm doing no chance there. No
chance.
We are
the New York Knicks.
Well, now I know that. Yes, now I understand that you
And
no
meanwhile,
chance.
Manny, and I think you picked the Suns too, who look great, but shocker, Kevin Durant got hurt. Shocker. I mean, like, again, should have seen that one coming, Meg and EJ.
Yeah. That one I'm a little annoyed about.
You want me to go chalk and say it's going to be the Celtics versus the OKC Thunder? I mean, nobody here picked the Cavs, as far as I remember. So none of us saw it coming.
Before we leave this game, did you guys see Manny take a shot at Jalen Brunson on social media last night? Did we know that was allowed?
I'm all about this.
What? Not a shot. I was just critical. Hey, guy's got to pick
allowed.
It up. He hasn't been playing exceptionally well. He's still facilitating, and I'm not going to get on my soapbox about the Knicks. But, I mean, guy's got to take some criticism, man.
Did he get hurt last night?
He did roll his ankle, yeah. Came right back in. Not right back in, but probably about after 5 minutes, did roll his ankle. But you know what? The Knicks still won.
There you go. Well,
Manny, you're a really nice guy in person. You're vicious on social media, dude.
I am the worst.
And my texts.
You're mean. You're just outright mean. I'm glad I don't play in a city there. You root for... handle again for people who want to see mean tweets?
E. Rodriguez Radio.
Imagine if you
miserable.
Spoke Spanish.
the tweets in Spanish are a lot more vulgar and a lot more.
I put one in Google Translate and my laptop just exploded into flames.
Yeah. It would not be okay on the FCC, no.
Sometimes I'll see some of your tweets come through. I'm like, is this the same person? Does someone else have Manny's phone? But like, you're vicious.
That
dude.
Made Elon Musk blush.
I am an awful individual.
Which is why we love you. What else is left?
The Bucks improving to 3-8 with a 99-85 home win over the Raptors. The Warriors spoiled Klay Thompson's return to San Francisco, 120-117. Steph Curry scored 37, including the Warriors' final 12 points. And this is exactly why we have the NBA Cup.
White fires it down low to Brown. Brown turns, shoots, gets it partially blocked, and the game's over. And the Atlanta Hawks... Short-handed as they are, they've come into Boston, and they have stunned the Celtics, and they win the first game of the tournament.
Steve Holman on Hawks Radio, the 117-116 stunner in Boston, which will have zero effect on the Celtics season. Now, back in Atlanta, it was the Champions Classic, one of the bigger events on men's college basketball's November schedule. Top-ranked Kansas put down Michigan State, 77-69. Bill Self passing Fog Allen for the most wins in program history. And then Kentucky came from behind to beat Duke, 77-72. The Wildcats got 17 points, 5 rebounds, and 3 assists from Andrew Carr.
By the way, you want to hear E. Rodriguez Radio's take on that game? Cooper Flagg with an elite choke job. Poor kid. Ha. I'm telling you, he's a murderer. He's like
he is a kid.
Manny.
Yeah, 17.
Dude, 17.
That guy could be on the Nets or the Raptors.
Oh, poor kid.
By the way, he was the best player on the court. Like, we're not...
All right, but am I wrong? Did you see the last 90 seconds?
Yeah, I did.
Two turnovers, and then he couldn't box out on the last free throw?
Yeah, but man, he's 17. Give him a break. Why do you have to be so mean?
Well, he'll be all right. Got to take these slings and arrows. If you come to Brooklyn, brother, got to take these slings and arrows.
He's from Maine. That could be further from
Brooklyn.
He's a
nice kid.
New York, Florida. He's going to catch these hands no matter what.
You're prepping him for life as a Net?
No, because no shit. The Nets are going to win themselves out of the Cooper Flagg sweepstakes because they're fools.
What are they doing? Can I get another mean Manny tweet? Or do you have his social handle up?
No, let
read
me see.
The Brunson one. It's got to be close.
Well, actually,
top.
The Brunson one, I might be missing this. Right. Okay, yeah. You actually defend Brunson here. What's the Brunson tweet? Do you see it, Manny? What did you say?
Just he needs to be shooting better. I don't know. I don't remember. Listen, yeah. I get very emotional during Knicks games. Yeah.
Fever dream.
He blacked out.
You could actually, it's better than EJ. You could actually hear EJ yelling in his tweets. Like literally, like the volume somehow goes up.
It's very much every tweet of EJ's that I read is in EJ's voice.
Nice.
The other one is, well, people may not know if you do, if you listen to Zach Gelb's show in the afternoon or Jim Rome, Stu Kovacs, who works on that show.
Oh, my God.
Is like Mother Teresa in person and then gets on social media and is Demolition Man. Like, how, Stu?
This is America, though. This is how we are. By the way, that tweet was Brunson has to wake up enough.
Got it.
I also said the Knicks could be up 15 if Brunson makes a few buckets. Hey, listen, man. It's tough being a Knicks fan.
The NBA Cup.
NBA
the
refs worst are pathetic.
This is what the Emirates NBA Cup does to me.
Oh, I forgot.
And those colored courts. Those amazing blue courts.
Is it called the Emirates NBA?
Oh, yeah, big time. You didn't see the referees? They have the Emirates logo on the bottom of their jerseys on the back.
No, I was blinded by the court color. I couldn't really see what was going on.
Dude, the Celtics court was unbelievable last night. That's why they lost.
It looks like a zoomed-in version of like a parquet.
That's what it
floor.
Is, it's like lime green.
Now, what color is that? I was actually wondering. Like every color has a name. I've never seen that color in my life.
Green. Kelly Green.
What's weird?
That was not Kelly Green.
There are a bunch of teams that are not getting away with doing gray courts, and those courts actually look pretty good.
Agreed. The gray I can deal with.
Ooh.
The blue makes my head
hurt. For some
hurt.
Reason, there were a lot of blue courts last night.
Well, and what's funny, because we are on in Boise, the blue field in Boise doesn't bother me. It was something about that, the basketball. I think it's the way the lights reflect off of it or something. I couldn't handle it. I couldn't watch it.
I think it is the lighting. It almost makes it look like they're playing on air, like they're playing above something. It's just I don't like any bit of it. I'm so happy that at least some teams have scaled it back for benefit.
The one thing about the court that I do like, though, is that they have the actual trophy at center court. Can we get the Larry O'Brien trophy on center court for the NBA Finals? Can we get that back, please? If we can do it for the NBA Cup, we can do it for the NBA Finals.
One more Manny tweet.
Of course.
I don't even know what it's referring to. Dog, D-A-W-G, this game sucks.
Hadley the Giants.
What's the timestamp?
It's from November 11th. Like, I like a tweet that has no reference to what's actually happening. So when you look at it 8 days later, you're like, I don't know what
that was. Monday. Is that Rams Dolphins?
That was Rams Dolphins, definitely.
No hashtag.
You felt compelled to tweet out on your phone, dog, this game sucks.
Dog, that game did suck.
I prefer the I prefer the ones with a very specific tag. Like, TJ McConnell has such a punchable face. Oh, my God.
Manny.
Yeah.
Easy.
Those are the ones I like.
Because if T.J. McConnell pulls up, we're all going to just sit and watch.
What's he going to do, bro? What's he going to do?
I don't want to find out.
If you want to go deep, his sister is going to be playing in the Bronx, and you want to come taunt her in lieu of him.
Where, at Rose Thrill?
Yeah.
Brother, get me some courtside tickets.
All right.
All righty.
So you can troll T.J. McConnell's sister. Manny, you've got a problem. 855-212-4227. Lots more to do, including continue with our great debate. The greatest boxing match of all time. We also do our college football report card next. Welcome back. Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. On Wednesdays, we do something called The Great Debate. Today is, what's the greatest boxing match of all time? It's loosely inspired by the fact that Mike Tyson is going to be fighting on Friday night against Jake Paul, the Disney star turned YouTuber turned boxer.
Yeah, maybe the worst fight of all time. The next week's great debate, the worst fight of all time. I mean, Sonny Liston throwing it against Ali, Jake Paul against Mike Tyson, Conor McGregor, Floyd Mayweather.
Yeah, Logan Paul against Mayweather. I mean, yeah, we'd have a lot of candidates for worst fight of all time as well. But today we're talking about the greatest fights of all time and the best, and you are welcome to weigh in at 855-212-4227. Mike is in Seattle. Mike, what do you have?
Yeah, I'm originally from Philly, so I'm a big boxing fan, and grew up right up the street from Frazier's gym, but, you know, the thriller was good, Hagler Hearns was good, but the best was Mickey Ward and Arturo Gatti.
Yeah.
Yep. Unbelievable.
The trilogy. Amazing. The trilogy. And it's unfortunate that Gatti has since passed away, Mike.
Wait, Mike, where'd you grow up? Where is Frazier's gym? Because I met Frazier
right on Broad Street. I grew up in Logan, right up a couple subway stops up from Frazier's gym. Yeah, it's like nice town, but on Broad Street side. Yeah,
awesome. When I was a kid, Joe Frazier came to my fifth grade class and made a bicep muscle, and every kid in the class walked up and got to touch his bicep muscle. I know that sounds weird, but it was the coolest thing ever.
That's like when you get to like rub the stump at the Apollo or something for good luck? Like everyone just got to touch his bicep?
And I'll tell you one thing. Joe Frazier historically is portrayed as this bad guy. I mean, he was the nicest to us kids. I mean, maybe that was just a public appearance. But I think later in life, he kind of reconciled with Ali. And like that's a great story.
Yeah, it's a sad story in a lot of ways, too, because I think Joe Frazier was really hurt by how Ali characterized him, calling him some really unfavorable names and doing, you almost say, like, whatever it was, I guess, sell the fight, but kind of the process, I mean, just got really, really kind of dark.
It's a funny thing. If you ever watch the Will Smith movie, he moves to Philadelphia. He literally, Ali lived two blocks away from my childhood house. In right off City Line Avenue in Philadelphia. So Ali was a big part of Philly, too, for some reason.
Well, he used to do his boxing, his training camps in the Poconos.
Yeah. And by the way, you know, the thing about Ali and Frazier, the line about Joe Frazier, Philadelphia had issues with him, too, because there was a lot of racism, I'm going to be honest. So the joke is they put a white fictional boxer statue in front of the Spectrum and not Joe Frazier.
Yeah.
He was not embraced by Philly fully, too, for a lot of reasons. And Ali jumped in. There was a lot going on.
No doubt. Philly does have a really long history of boxing, not just Rocky. Like, great movies, but obviously with Joe Frazier and then also with Hopkins. The Executioner.
Yeah. Many. Bernard Hopkins. Many more. Philadelphia. I mean, obviously, Detroit, New York. There's a lot of big boxing towns.
Let's go to different Mike, who's in California. The greatest fight of all time was which one?
It has to be the first fight between Castillo and Corrales.
Yep.
Back at 05. I mean, the most power punches thrown toe-to-toe. The incredible ending with both of them facing a TKO with 10 seconds left on the clock before Corrales put it down. I mean, it was just, I've never seen a fight like it before. I used to have it recorded on DVR. I'd watch it over and over again for years until you could find it online.
I mean, both
guys had to go to the hospital afterwards for internal bleeding and kidney problems and everything else because of the beating they took, and they still made it all the way in. It was an amazing fight. If you've never seen it, you've got to look it up.
I got to watch this fight. I knew nothing about it. Like,
it's awesome.
And the rematch wasn't bad either, Mike.
Yeah, the rematch was, the only thing bad about the rematch is one of them, I think it was Corrales, didn't make weight. And then they were supposed to have the third rematch to it. And before the third match could happen, Corrales killed on the motorcycle accident.
Oh, yeah.
And the craziest thing was they used to be sparring partners, and they were friends. But they literally just beat the living snot out of each other that day in the ring. It was by far the most exhilarating 10 rounds of a boxing match I've ever seen.
Mike, great to hear from you, and thanks for weighing in. Really, one of the great fights. I was just thinking about what's the one thing you have saved on your DVR? Mike was saying he had this fight saved on his DVR and he would just go back and watch it.
I feel like I always end up having to delete it after a year or so. So it's hard.
I got a new system and we don't like our DVR. I don't. DVR is not really a thing anymore. It's just streaming, right?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. It's funny because my uncle would love this. He's a huge boxing fan, wrote a book about Jack Johnson, like boxing historian. And I know the one thing he had saved on his DVR was the game 7 of the Cavs Warriors game where LeBron wins
2016.
Yeah, like basically the play before the block and then through the end of the game. My Uncle Wayne had that saved on his DVR forever.
Uncle Wayne and I would probably get a beer.
I think you guys would get along quite famously.
I like Uncle Wayne.
Yeah.
Would you like him on Twitter though? Is the question.
Thankfully, I don't think my Uncle Wayne has Twitter.
Yeah. Can I read another Manny?
Yeah,
tweet just sent in. November 10th. I don't have to watch the Giants for another 14 days. Thank God.
Am I wrong? They have a bye week. Oh, thank you.
November 9th. What an awful effort by the Knicks. Absolutely pathetic. The Jets put up more of a fight. What? You hate your own teams?
Yeah.
Just keeping it real.
I'm just miserable. That's what it is.
Lost to the Pacers that day. You got to give them a break.
Yeah, that's what happened. And TJ McConnell.
But there's no when you win. Like, you don't even pay attention. There's no good job. Good job, team. There's nothing positive on this entire feed.
The good job team is implied.
Okay. When they win, it's just like, okay.
My Instagram reel, my Instagram feed, when I put up the Knicks final score, that's the go team. Only after they win, though.
Who goes to social media for go team?
Yeah. You don't go to social media, nice win team. Like.
Yeah. What are you, Magic Johnson? Like, you don't go to social media for great weather we're having. Jeez, haven't hit traffic yet. That's not what you go to social media for. 855-212-4227. Keep them coming. Greatest boxing match of all time.